Welcome to episode 590 of Fly Away. Over the past few years, we've been reminded time and again how much the world relies on travel. From supporting local economies to learning about new cultures, the experience that travel provides helps to make our world smaller and bring us closer together. Here at Outlander Travel, we've been proud to be a small part of bringing that to you through our weekly podcast. My name is Sandy, and this week I am joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Anna and Lindsay. Home to more than 9.6 million people, Seoul is the capital of the largest city in South Korea. Blending ancient heritage with modern innovation, Seoul offers something for everyone, from K-pop stans to history buffs, skincare enthusiasts, and foodies. Recently, Lindsay had an opportunity to experience Seoul's unique charm firsthand and is here to share a small taste of what makes Seoul one of her favorite cities and why you may want to consider adding it to your bucket list. So let's get started. So this one really isn't on my radar too much, although I do like the Golden Song. K-pop Demon Hunters.
I can honestly say, Sandy, that there is not a person that I know that travels that would not fall in love with Seoul.
Yeah, I feel like I'd like it. I just I didn't know it was 9.6 million people.
Oh yeah, it's massive. It's massive.
Yeah. I mean, I know it's not an island, but I picture it as like a small country. You know, like
I'm with you. I mean, this is definitely. I'm interested to hear what you have to say, Lindsay, because it's never really been on my radar either. But maybe. So your job is to change our minds to make this, put this on our radar.
Okay. So I will preface this as saying right before we get into anything, I am not a skinfluencer or a skincare expert, or my skincare experience before this trip was minimal at best. My sister is the expert. She buys the Korean skincare, sends it to me, and I put it on my face. So that right there. I am, however, an avid foodie. So, and since those are the two things we're going to be talking about the most,
I get a lot of those TikTok ads about Korean skincare. So I am interested to hear about this because I feel like it's trying to scam me, but you're saying it's a thing.
Oh, it's amazing. But you have to be, we'll talk about it off podcast, but you have to be careful how you buy your Korean skincare because some of it is not manufactured the same way.
These are the things.
Yes. Yep. So, of course, it goes without saying, I brought home a literal suitcase full of skincare for my sister and myself.
Okay.
Cool. So, I should probably start out with the reason why I added this trip on. My husband lived in Seoul, but he lived in South Korea for a while with the military. And so he was always talking about the food. I mean, he loves Korean food. So it was the food that kind of got me, I have to go. I've got to go eat in the markets and go eat the street food. And so that was kind of the inspiration.
So you never visited him when he was in?
No, this was before we.
Okay. All right. Cool.
This was pre-Lindsay.
It was after high school because we did go high school.
They were on a break.
We were on a break. A long extended break. I did stay in two different places here, and I'm going to butcher. I want to apologize to anybody listening that is a native Korean speaker because I am going to butcher everything I say. I swear that I could say it perfectly leading up to the trip and while I was there and shortly after, but we are now a couple months out, and I have that part of my brain has shut down, and I've already started memorizing how to say things for my next destination. I have limited room in there for this.
That's okay.
Cool. So, yeah.
So I stayed in the Myeongdong area first because it was the busiest. That's the nightlife. It's very commercial, very touristy, easily walkable right outside of the hotel. You can walk up and down the street. There's some street food out there. Tons of skincare. This is skin shop mecca. And like we have Sephora here in the States, South Korea has Olive Young. And I before this trip, I had never heard of Olive Young. And now I can say that I think I've been to every single Olive Young in Seoul because I was looking for some very specific things. And it is the most busy skincare. I mean, there are some of them, I think one's seven floors, one's three floors. Some of them are like little drugstore shops in little local neighborhoods that you just pop in.
And it's just skincare.
And it's skincare and makeup, and it's all, I mean, phenomenally priced compared to what you get it for here in the States.
Yeah. And Sephora and Ulta is expensive here.
Yes. Yeah, the pricing for on everything in this is a shopper's dream. If you are a shopper and you want things customized, Seoul is your city. I've never seen so many customizable souvenirs in my life. You can customize Converse, Vans, and you go in and you do it right there, and they get it done in just a few hours. Like literally anything you can think of, you can have custom or tailor made for you in Seoul.
So that's interesting because, you know, I'm a plus size girly and I would think I wouldn't be able to find anything to take home, you know, like with.
No, you would just go, you'd go and get it custom made. And they have plus size, size clothing stores too, actually, over in the Hongdae area. I ran into two of them and went in and was quite impressed that they had. I really like there's a very unique sense of style. Mm-hmm. There. National Geographic is a clothing brand in Korea. Yeah. Yes, because there's not really trade right copyright enforcement going on.
Gotcha.
So there's kind of it's a little bit the marketing there's a little bit different. But I was so excited I saw the National Geographic store and I'm like, that's a clothing brand here. But yeah, so one of the first things I did after filling a list of my sister sent me with a list of things she was looking for, and going into a couple different skin stores, was I found out that there was a place called Beauty Play that's sponsored by the government, and they offered this unique you can get a skin analysis done for free. Mm-hmm. So. You know, I just thought maybe I was feeling too good about myself and I needed
like your skin makes you look like you're 60.
I need to take my 40-some year old self.
That's a joke because you don't look like that at all. You look fabulous. So,
well, this is such a cute, cute little experience. And there's actually one in Hongdae and one in Myeongdong area. And they offer the skin analysis, color analysis. You can have your color analysis done in person with swatches, or you can do it by, there's like a little computer screen that you go up to and you put your face in there and it tells you if you're an autumn or a summer or whatever. they have makeup there, perfume, and they give free samples out. And a lot of these products are all local. This is to promote local businesses. The one thing I wish they did a little bit different was you can only buy these products. If you do fall in love with something there, you can only buy them online. And of course, that's a challenge if you're traveling you can't buy them online from the States. You have to buy them online from.
So when you like it at the experience that you're doing, you can't buy it right then?
No. I mainly went for the skin analysis because I've never had one done and I was really curious what they would say. I got paired with this. I went in and signed up for it, and they were at lunch and they were like, oh, it'll be about 30 minutes. And I think it was only about 15. So I walked around and looked at everything and kind of did my own color analysis while I was waiting. And then this very sweet, beautiful, perfect skin 20-year-old girl comes out, takes me in this little booth, and you can this is a very humbling experience. they put your face in the thing and they scan your skin and you can also have this done at like Mixoon, but then they're going to try and sell you their products, obviously. There are a couple other places you can pay to have it done as well. On my list that I didn't get to this trip, that's the top of the list for the next trip, is to get to go to a scalp spa where they do like 20 different steps of a scalp skincare. They take the camera in and they go and analyze your scalp, your skin. No,
I just want my scalp massaged.
You get massaged and there's like all these water treatments and everything. Everyone I've talked to that has done it says it's a must do. I just could not fit it in my schedule this time around. So that's on the list for next time. But this, I would recommend going into Beauty Play just to kind of see what it's a really great introduction. If you're not a skincare enthusiast and you find yourself in Seoul and you maybe have somebody back home that you're looking for skincare for, the people in Olive Young, the people in these stores are so incredibly helpful at helping you kind of figure out what you need for your skincare. Some of them a little brutally so. There's a brand that I use that my sister has bought for me for a while, and I had a lady very matter-of-factly tell me that I was way too old to be using this.
Ooh, okay. Okay.
But yeah, so a lot of the there's a lot of opportunity to learn about skincare and and then from there, my next focus was food. I'm going to try everything.
Enough with skincare. Right. I want to hear about food.
I promised to pick my first hotel so that I would be right down from one of the most popular areas for street food. And the street food was amazing. Mm-hmm. One thing I do want to go back to and talk about was transportation. Because I feel like I'm doing Seoul a huge disservice for potential travelers if I don't tell you how freaking easy it was. You could stumble off the plane blindfolded, walk through the terminal, and there is no way you could miss the kiosks to buy the bus tickets to get into town. It is literally right there. There are signs in English on the floor and stickers. I didn't even have to wait for a bus. Okay. I literally printed my ticket out, walked outside, went right to the thing with my bags, and next thing I know, I'm in this beautiful leather high back seat coach that's gonna drop me off down where I need to be. It was the easiest transportation. Nice.
That's cool.
So that, and then so where I stayed first was pretty walkable. Walked down to the food court. The one thing money-wise, a lot of the ATMs there do not like American credit cards or chips because they're on their own system. So it's kind of just, someone explained it to me and I can't remember exactly what, but it's a completely different system. So 7-Eleven is the key here. You go to the 7-Elevens and their ATMs sometimes will work, sometimes they won't. I went to the same ATM about 6 times and 4 times it worked and 2 times it did not. Just really depends on how the machine's feeling that day. So that's worth knowing. But
so did you need to have cash?
Yes,
on, or could
for
you just
street
use
food.
Your card?
And if you're going to these food markets, you really, if you're going to eat the local authentic food, you need to get cash.
There
for like Olive Young and all of those. I mean, I could have played with like whatever Klarna. I could pay with Klarna at Olive Young. I could Apple Pay.
Yeah.
I could Apple Pay at a lot of the stores. That's how, they made it very easy for you to buy souvenirs. But the food, and since that was my focus, I needed to have cash for food. And one of the other things, so I started going, I made a list. There are so many different food markets, and some of them are more well known. Some of them have been made popular by, there's a couple foodie shows on Netflix. One of the food tours that really caught my eye when I was planning for this trip was an Anthony Bourdain inspired Korean barbecue tour. And
I saw that in the notes. That's really cool.
I did. And this is offered by Zen Kimchi. And this is something that we can book for our clients with Project Expedition. And so my tour was supposed to be a small group, but I ended up being the only one that signed up that day. So I got a private tour. And it was the most amazing meal. This trip was part of a 2-month trip. This was the best meal I had the entire trip. We went to a Anthony Bourdain's favorite Korean barbecue restaurant, and he didn't tell me until after we were done. Jeff, my guide, I sat in the same seat that Anthony Bourdain sat, and it was really, I mean, for a foodie lover, I was tearing up when he told me like this.
Yeah.
It was such a unique experience, and the food was amazing. It's in a way, it's a little sad because it's ruined me for a little bit of the Korean barbecue experiences that I have access to in the States.
Yeah. I know, because I'm thinking like, okay, I'm, you know, yeah. I like a bibimbap. So tell me what kind of food you're eating. What was the
stuff? At the Korean barbecue, we had, so anyone who's been to Korean barbecue, I know we've done the one on Virgin Voyages. So they're right. The little metal grate, I'm sorry, I can't remember what it's called, but it's like a dome in the center. And it's done on purpose so the mm-hmm. the fat will come off. So if you put the little pork rib or whatever, so the fat kind of goes down to the side. And they fill the side of this metal tray with eggs or kimchi. And then this pork fat kind of just goes in and saturates. It makes it the most amazing... Most amazing melding of flavors that I've ever had. It was a really great experience. I think, you know, I had all the typical stuff that you'd have at barbecue. We did go out for chicken, fried chicken, and they have a special process that they use with their chicken. I think they fry it kind of twice fried. And had chicken and beer. In a very unique little hole in the wall restaurant I never would have found on my own. All of these places never, ever, ever would have stumbled into on my own, except for maybe the one that was in the food court. I had Korean, the pancakes. Let's see. So many things, so many different types of kimbap. I absolutely loved, went into a couple of the more, you know, you can see the Netflix banners on the little signs inside the market. Mm-hmm. So you know that this little stall was made famous on the show. So there's a lot of popularity there. But then I also kind of went out to a few markets that I had to take a couple trains. One, I had to take three trains to get to. And that was probably my favorite market of all the ones I went to because it was very local. Everyone was doing, I was the only American. I was the only tourist at a lot of these markets. But you
now taking the train, is that pretty easy?
Yes, like very easy.
You just get everything there right on the spot. Yeah. Just get your tickets on the spot.
Everything is super transportation. You would not believe how easy it is. It's and instructions are in English. There are signage.
Yeah, I mean, I like a good plan, but I do like, I like to wing it too.
I know that one of the things that can be seem daunting when you only speak English is going to a place where you can't read the signs and you can't,
when the alphabet is completely different.
That's, I get really, that stresses me out. My anxiety. Yeah.
They were very, the owner of, I actually got to meet the owner of the Zen Kimchi food tours. And it's kind of, he worked with Anthony Bourdain's show. They were interviewed before they went there, to do the no reservations, recording. But I got to meet them after my tour. Jeff took me out to where they happened to be out eating and drinking, and I got to meet the whole team and kind of talk to them a little bit about it. But they were showed me in less than 20 minutes, he wrote down the whole entire Korean alphabet for me. And then it kind of was making sense to me. I think this is one of those things that I think if you spend a little bit of time with before you go, it's going to make your life so much easier while you're there. As long as you can recognize some of the characters, you can put together enough of it to get the gist of it. But for as far as transportation goes, transportation was much easier than I had originally anticipated. Also, picture photo translator apps are your best friend. They don't always work the best. You kind of got to play around and see sometimes with the character, like with Chinese and Japanese, I really had a lot of issues with them. But with Korean, I think it worked a lot better. The picture translation does. The food, I can't say enough about the food because it's not just the food in the food markets, right? Or, you know, the food in the local restaurants. I mean, there are cafes. And one of the things that took me by surprise was the quality of pastry. Like, I wasn't expecting, I knew I was going to love the food, but I wasn't expecting to go to a cafe and have the most amazing donut I've ever had in my life or anything like that. And I was very surprised. I had salt bread for the first time, which was very good. there is a beautiful, there are all these beautiful trails along the stream that you can walk, two different streams that you can walk by. And there's the Gonji line at the forest park. It was built along an old rail line. And it's just this nice, peaceful area to walk through. There's some shops and cafes. And one of the things mm-hmm. that was very interesting to me was at the major intersections, you know, the subway stairs kind of that go downstairs. Well, you're going into an underground market. They have all these underground markets. Oh, so okay. They have the food markets and then they have underground markets. This really is heaven for shoppers. So if you need to buy a yeah. suitcase, if you need to buy just about anything, you can find it. And
that's awesome.
I know I'm skipping over so much, but I went to the Namdong, Myeongdong, Gwangjeong. So the Myeongdong market is mostly outdoors, and then the Gwangjeong was indoors. I went to the Bukchon, the traditional Hanok village, with the kind of beautiful, typical architecture you see. But there's another one that's just out of town that's just as pretty, I think, and much less people. And so I went to that one as well. One of the interesting things that happened when I was at Bukchon Village was I got there so late in the day that they have a curfew. So after 5 p.m., because it's a residential area, so after 5 p.m., tourists aren't allowed to be walking in that area. Well, a skincare company was launching had a pop-up, which I've never been to a beauty pop-up before, but they're all over Seoul. Like they're free samples, deals on skincare, and they have some type of food that they give for free. It's a whole experience. And I'm kind of glad that I stumbled into one because it's not something I would have ever put on my tourist list. I'm going to go to a beauty pop-up, but it was great. Let's see. What else did I? I did so much. I feel like I'm missing so much, guys. Sorry.
So you mentioned this is a totally different vibe, but do you mention the DMZ tour?
Yes. Can you talk a little more about that? So I think this was very important for me to get to do this, to get to experience it, especially right now where the buses for the DMZ tours all meet in the same place.
So tell people what DMZ is.
This is the demilitarized zone between North and South Korea. And I think it's important, even if you're not a history buff, I definitely recommend going to see it. The tours range anywhere from like $30 to, I think the one I did was $100. And I paid the additional because I wanted to... there's an opportunity for an add-on where you get to speak with a defector from North Korea and hear their story and how they how they escaped and what life was like. So this tour, where the bus picks you up, there are so many buses going out, and each one is doing the tour a little bit differently. So when you're making your travel arrangements with your advisor, they're going to make sure to tell you exactly how to find your bus, because there's a little bit of a area for confusion there when you have this, like in any other place where there's a lot of tourist buses picking up. So I went out, we stopped in three places. We went out to the DMZ, to the museum, and we got to speak. There was a museum there that shows a little bit about what life is like in North Korea. It was very eye-opening to me because we grow up hearing, oh, it's bad, but you don't really know how bad it is until you're reading someone's actual story, or you're seeing what typical life is like, and hearing what she went through to get her small children out was so moving. There was no dry eyes in this room. It was very moving. And then we went to one of the other places we stopped was the tunnel. I think it was the third tunnel. And we got to, had an opportunity, you would love this, Sandy, where you walk for a million miles downhill. I don't know, it's not a million miles, but it's a really long walk, but it's all down. So it's really easy going down. But then you're thinking in the back of your mind, you're watching people come up and they're like dying on the other side. They're like,
is there going to be a helicopter that's going to take me out?
This was a tunnel that was dug to get out. And so you go down as far as you can in the tunnel, and there's like a glass window where you can kind of see into North. So I did that and then turned and walked back up that hill. And that was probably the most exercise I've ever gotten in my whole life. But worth doing, worth going down there to see. You could, you kind of have to crouch. I'm 5'5" and I was like, they put you in hard hats so that you don't knock yourself out.
So is this a tunnel that people used to escape?
Yeah, this was a tunnel used for I think rescue operations or for military movements. I'm sorry, I'm not. I really should have. I should have watched my videos. I do all these video diaries because I know that my brain works like this. So, sorry, guys. If you want more detail later, call me and let me know, and I'll show you. but yeah, so there.
Yeah,
it was just a very unique experience to see. You know, in the Peace Village, we stopped at the Peace Village, and there's actually a brewery that makes beer that you can only buy there. And I did buy a couple beers there, which I thought was very unique. And there's a type of ice cream that you can only get there and some, you know, the souvenir stuff. But just to hear the stories of people whose families have been just dissected and separated like this, and how cut off they are.
And it's such a contrast in life. You know, well, you're talking about this metropolitan city that has everything,
and then you have people who are starving and so one of the other stops was a building where if you go up on the top floor on the roof, they have binoculars. Now you're not allowed to take pictures anymore. You used to be able to take pictures, but now you can't because you'll get in trouble. But you're looking out in the binoculars and you're looking for dark figures in the field, and these are people working in North Korea. And just hearing about the living conditions, and you know, and I mean, they're using human waste for fertilizer. So the government owns your waste, and you have to turn in buckets of your waste. And if you don't, then you can get in big trouble. So people will steal other people's human waste. And I think as Americans, we can't even begin to imagine what life in those conditions and that level of restrictive and poverty and control is. So very moving. It was important to me, just the same way that going to Auschwitz when I went to Poland, this is the same way. I think it's if you go to Seoul, if you go to South Korea, enjoy all the amazing things, but humbling. I think you have to do this. This is a must do. It was very moving.
All right, so Sandy, we're going to do that when we go. Okay,
I would definitely do that.
And
yeah,
there's another tour you can take that's supposed to start up again. They stopped it for security reasons, but you actually get – I think they stopped it because the president had met – Trump was meeting with whoever in this area. There's another tour you can take where you go to yet another area that's in the DMZ. So I'll probably go again the next time I go, but it was – it's definitely worth adding to your itinerary. I'm so sorry.
How far is that? Like, how, when you have to get on the bus and go do that?
I want to say it was a few hours. Yeah, it's so definitely like it's a whole day.
Definitely a full day.
It's a full day, and when you come back, if they time it just right, they'll drop you off near the palace where they're doing the traditional demonstration of like a traditional end of the day.
Cool. So, is there anything I know that you have a lot you want to talk about, but we're kind of running up on the time, but is there anything else you want to make sure that you mention? maybe about logistics or your hotel.
So,
or...
yeah, I think this is definitely because Seoul is so big and there's so much to do. Mm-hmm. This is not a place. I'm really glad I stayed in two different locations. I'm glad that I moved. And depending on what your focus is, if you are going to go see more of the palaces or if you're going to, I think that would heavily influence where you want to stay in Seoul. But I think this might be one of those cities where if you want to see, you have to kind of get out of the city, right? You've got to get out and see a little bit more. So, picking at least one or two destinations to stay would be highly recommended.
And you were there just under two weeks.
Said, and I easily could have spent a year there. it's like when you're, I think when we were talking about Tokyo, this came up too, was like, you really could spend a whole week in just one tiny little part of the city.
Yeah.
You're never going to see and do everything. But I think one of the things to me that I felt most was the charm of Seoul was this mix of, you know, here you have like the stream, the stream that's just down the stairs from this, here you have up on the top level is this bustling city area. And you go down these stairs and here's this peaceful, serene stream with grass on the side and people are having picnics and there are fountains and, you know, this little oasis in the center of the city. And there are several areas like that and these little quiet neighborhoods where you can just pop in and get a coffee or a donut, and the little markets where you just, you know, see where everybody buys their hardware and where they go, where the locals go to buy their groceries. I love to do that when I travel. I don't know if that is as appealing or exciting to others, but I think...
No, I like that. I especially love a local grocery store because like you can get like really good snacks.
The energy. And,
like, that's a cool place to get stuff for people.
The energy of the city. And everyone was so kind. I met so many people on this trip, which I wasn't. Oh, I should say culturally real quick. Restaurant etiquette, completely different. Korean barbecue, not something you do solo. There are restaurants that are kind of made for solo people, but there are some restaurants you're going to encounter in Seoul that will not take you if you're just one person. And I did learn from my friend Jeff all about drinking etiquette. You're not supposed to, it's supposed to be bad luck to drink alone. You're supposed to always drink with others and you're never supposed to pour your own drink. And if someone has an empty glass, whether it's water or whatever, you're supposed to pour it for them before they can even ask. It's just part of the... Yeah, I like that.
Well, what if you are alone? I mean, how are you supposed to drink if you're not?
I broke that rule.
What do you do?
I would definitely be breaking that rule.
I mean, I would drink in an area where other people were there.
I did drink alone in a restaurant with other people.
Yeah, other people were in the restaurant.
I don't know. I fell in love with it. And I could probably talk for hours about there's just so much to experience and see there. I do think the tourist areas are worth, like the Myeongdong. It's worth going to see a little bit just to get that flavor of that.
Yeah.
Things are open really late at night. So you're the nightlife option. Oh, I forgot to talk about I went to a dog cafe. In Hongdae. Yeah, so it's kind of like the nightlife party area. It's probably where my husband went to troll for women when he was in the military. There was a lot of soldiers walking around that area. But there are all these boutique stores where vintage U.S. fashion is – there was like a punk clothing store. I wish my sister could have been there to see. But so they had a Samoyed cafe where you pay $10 because larger dogs are kind of they're exotic. And because you're living in an apartment, you can't have, so people will pay to go see these big, beautiful dogs. And there's two floors and they have like 11 dogs on one floor and like 8 more dogs on the other floor. And, it was just a great experience. And my sister and my niece have a Samoyed. So I had to go and get pictures and videos to send to her.
I mean, I'm all about like hugging some dogs.
It's a great too, way to so break up your, you know, at this point I'd been traveling for almost 2 months. And I was just so over people, missing my dog. And there was nothing better than I can just go on love on these dogs. And it was a very unique little experience. But there's all sorts of things like that that you can do that you never would have thought. Like, oh, this is not something was on my list for sure.
So I have like one last question. I just want to touch on what about like public safety? Did you ever feel like you shouldn't be walking by yourself at night or
Only time and it wasn't even that I felt unsafe. I did meet people are extremely friendly and I was at one of the most popular places to get the Korean pancakes in the Gwangjong market later at night. And they sit you at the tables and you're kind of next to other people. And there were two very nice, very chatty older gentlemen that were trying to we had a very broken English conversation. And they were lovely, but they were very much into their soju. Like they were deep in the cups. And they wanted me to go to another bar with them. And younger me would have been like, this is a great idea.
But it's a great idea.
Had that, like, if you had been there with me, Sandy, definitely. If anybody had been there with me, yes, because these were great. I think they were really great people. But there's still that when you're, especially when you're, you know, we are just travel safety is very important. And I didn't want to offend them when absolutely. I said no. I also made a social faux pas because they asked me if I was here alone, if I was alone. And I thought they were talking about traveling alone. And I have my wedding rings on. He was trying to set me up with his son. He's showing me pictures of his son. And isn't he handsome? I'm like, oh, no. I'm married. I'm just here eating alone. But I did not feel unsafe at all. Late at night, you can have some problems getting transportation. So if you get yourself, the trains stop running at a certain point. And that was probably more my fear than anything else. If I went to that other location with them, how the heck was I going to get back to where I needed to go?
Right.
Because late at night, sometimes the Ubers won't come. Or it is also worth noting, logistic-wise, Uber there, my Uber showed up for my ride to the airport from the second hotel I was at, and he had something permanently installed in his trunk so he couldn't put my suitcases in. And so it was this weird, I ended up being late to the airport and having to reschedule my flight because I had to get a different Uber. Yeah. So I travel poorly, so my clients don't have to. That is not a... Yes,
that would have made me nuts. Could you have gotten the hotel to just get like a regular taxi?
The guy at the hotel was beside himself. Like he was so embarrassed. Like it wasn't even had nothing to do with him, and he felt like because I had them call him. I didn't call him. He called. They called for me. I had to get a different car. And then by the time I got there, it was okay. And I just spent I got to have a lovely extended stay in the beautiful airport at night with a bunch of other people who were doing the same thing. And I will say the airport is so clean and nice. And there's a convenience store there where you can get food. And I just watched like how the teenagers were heating up their food. Because you can buy burgers in bags. And I never thought I would ever eat a burger out of like a little cellophane bag.
A plastic bag.
But I watched them heat it up in the microwave and I did it. And it was actually really good. I would say the food in the 7-Elevens, that is good. It's not as good as Tokyo, but it's definitely way better than anything we're getting in the States for sure. I think Korea and Japan have such a great system down how to get fresh food into those convenience stores that we just don't.
That's awesome.
I wish we could adopt that here.
All right. Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. More local food. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that is our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Anna, Lindsay, and myself, Sandy, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.